Isn't it true that so often in our lives we confuse responsibility with a burden? We conflate commitment with a kind of boredom or sterility. And to some degree, in allowing that definition to float in the mind, we perpetuate, each of us, in some subtle way, in some perhaps grosser way, a false dichotomy between life and what comes after. I'll explain that in a moment. But true enough, we would all agree that we live simultaneously in two worlds. There's the world of what the Chiddush HaRim, the great Hasidic master, called the Nekuda Pnimit Shel Avraham Avinu, that each and every one of us has this inner point, he called it, the inner point of Abraham, the patriarch, the place of purity, the place of radical centeredness. I called it last week, in Mark Nepo's name, the umbilical cord of divinity, the place you arrive when you arrive at what you know to be your essence, your core, who you really are. This point of Avraham Avinu, the Chiddush HaRim said, is a deeper meaning of what we say when we say Magen Avraham, that God is the shield of Abraham. It means that the God within you and me and Steve and David and Tzvi and Carol, the point in us is shielded by that divine promise. No matter where you go, no matter what you do or what is done to you, you have that place, Magen Avraham. And on one plane, that's true. But then, in the other world in which we live and have commerce, so to speak, we are fragmented, pulled into various personae, into various masks, into various moments, discrete, often discontiguous, one from the next. We live in many stories, some of which remind us of who we are, many of which keep us feeling a bit alienated from that Magen Avraham. In the language of contemporary, maybe contemporary spirituality, we would call this, after the ecstasy, the laundry. There is the ecstasy of life, although some of us have ecstatically cleaned our laundry before. Generally speaking, it's that kind of monotony or the kind of day-to-day regimen that can often leave us feeling, where's my little point of Abraham? It doesn't have to be only in the domain of the soul, but in the domain of time, we also feel this duplicity, this discontinuity. I'm a big picture kind of guy. I like big pictures. And so when I finally arrive at home on Friday night and I close my eyes and I feel the blissfulness of Shabbat, though I work on Shabbat, Shabbat reminds me of that point of Abraham inside. It gives me a sense of who I am without all of that. All of the appointments and all of the places to go and all the things to do. And almost always as Shabbat is leaving, I can feel inside a little cracks, a little sigh. Oy, here comes the week. Here comes the week. A week with the holding of a hand of someone who knows they're dying and is making preparations. Here comes a week where 24 hours is not nearly enough to put all of Humpty Dumpty back together again. Here comes a week that by Wednesday I'll be begging again for Shabbat. This turn from the ecstatic and the blissful to the moment-to-moment, the fragmentary nature of life, is nowhere more beautifully described, no more beautifully rendered than in this week's Torah portion. If you remember last week, we were at the pinnacle, we were at the height of ecstasy, seeing sounds and hearing visions. The Jewish people as a whole, the Israelite nation, was receiving the Aseret HaDibrot, the 10 utterances. Panim b'fanim, face to face, we were having our bliss. And then, as it always happens every single year, we come into the week after. The bridge, if you will, between Mount Sinai and the rest of our week. And so the Torah portion begins this week, Ve'ele ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem, and these are the ethical foundations that you should place before them. The great medieval exegete, Rashi, asks, of course, what's the meaning of the ve'ele, the prefix vav? It could have been sufficient had the Torah said, now, Eile ha-mishpatim, these. Eile is a word that means these are. But the Torah portion this week begins with a little vav. Those of you who aren't familiar with the Hebrew alphabet, it's kind of a hook, a straight line that has a little top to it. It's used always to connect something that came before to something that is coming now. And with that little vav, that little and, therefore, Rashi makes a very famous comment on this week's Torah portion. He writes, Ve'ele ha-mishpatim, and the ve'ele, and these. Kol makom she'ne'emar ele pasal et harishonim. Whenever the word ele, these are, whenever that comes, just those three letters, aleph, lamed, ele, these, pasal et harishonim, it means we're starting from scratch. What came before is irrelevant. Ve'ele mosif al harishonim. Ve'ele adds to the first ones. Ma harishonim mi Sinai, af elu mi Sinai. Just as the ones that came before were from Sinai, these two are from Sinai. Rashi, in a moment of medieval polemic, says, all of you who say that the ethical commands could have been something human created, all of the mishpatim, all of the things that require ethical sensibility to the space between myself and you, which make up the entirety of this week's Torah portion, your ox, not my ox, your property, not my property, and all of those frayed edges that make for social living, lest you think all of those are human-made, says Rashi, and to all of those he was living with at the time, the ones that came before are from Sinai, and these two are from Sinai. The little vav connects them both into a contiguous whole of divine authorial intent and divine authority. Wonderful. Everything is from Sinai. But the deeper meaning of that is not that just as the ones that came before have the authority and the ones that came after have just as much authority, but that revelation happens in the moments of interpersonal connectivity, that Mount Sinai is every face I meet every week. Ma elu mi Sinai, af elu mi Sinai. That the Ten Commandments, the epiphanies, the rubber meeting the road is, do I see in you and in you that vav, that connection? Can I connect with you as an epiphany? Is my moment-to-moment life imbued with a sense of the magnificent revelation at Sinai? But how do you do it? Wonderful. Just as these came from Sinai, so these come from Sinai. In the words of Molly Vass, I want to read you something that gave me some strength when I thought about my week. She writes, if you place two living cells from different living heart cells from two different people in a petri dish, they will in time find and maintain a third and common beat. This biological fact holds the secret of all loves, of all connections, of all relationships. This cellular proof that beneath any resistance we might pose and beyond all our attempts to fall short, there is in the very nature of life itself some essential joining force. And that this inborn ability to find and enliven a common beat is the miracle of love. This force is what makes compassion possible, even probable. That inside of you and inside of me, there is something greater that we share than the stories that we spin. That inside each and every one of you and me, there is something larger that we belong to. That inside each and every one of you and me, regardless of our mood on a Monday or our elation on a Thursday, we are each grounded in one beat, one heart. And that itself grounds Sinai in every moment of our lives. That realization, that making real, is what it means to respond. The Catholic theologian, the excommunicated Catholic theologian Matthew Fox wrote, responsibility, from the word respond, has nothing to do with an extraneous or some outside force telling you what to do or what to be. It is an answer plus a promise. The word responded from the French respondere and respondare, which is to answer and to promise, is not a reply. It's not, Rabbi, how many days until Shabbat? It's not, Rabbi, can you marry us? It's the bride and the groom looking at each other and saying, will we marry? Can we respond? Can we answer with a promise? To hear the voice of Sinai every day is to answer in the affirmative when we are called upon to make a promise to hear and listen deeply enough until the sound of that cell begins to beat in my own heart. So I know that that's not easy. It's lovely, David. Wonderful. Yasher koach. The question of this week's Torah portion, and I think of every year when we come to Mishpatim, is not, right, it's not, were you at Sinai, but were you there after Sinai? Shul doesn't begin until we leave Shul. Meditation doesn't begin until you stop meditating. And yoga, my friends, is not stretching your hamstrings 3 times a week. The work of responding to the heartbeat of the other begins the moment we leave Sinai. And when we answer the call, can you hear my heart beating?